How you doing? Hope you're well. Hope you're having a great day. It's morning time on Monday morning. It's my favorite. It's funny, most people I think Mondays are maybe are not the best of days. But I think, frankly, that Monday's my favorite day of the week. It's I don't know, there's just something tranquil about a Monday. So I hope you had a great weekend. Hope you're looking forward to a productive and fruitful week. Hope you have what's the word I'm looking for? I don't remember what I was going to say. Oh, some fruitful encounters. Some opportunity to relate to folks. People you love and you can bless. People you don't know and you get to meet and get to just have an impact on, and then maybe people who maybe you don't get along with real well, and there might be some forgiveness and reconciliation. So what are we looking at? We're looking at Luke chapter 9. And so this is coming off of Peter answering Jesus as to who do they say that I am. We talked about the idea that many thought that one of the prophets had come back from the dead. And again, that's what the Jewish people were looking for. They'd been praying for the Messiah, and they knew that for the Messiah to come, there was a prophet that would come before him, this in the spirit of Elijah. And later, Jesus would say that certainly Elijah has come, and that would be in the person of John the Baptist, and therefore, who they were looking for had actually arrived. And now they could begin to change the focus from the prophet to the Messiah. It's interesting. This is an interesting point. I don't know that I have an answer for it. So Peter answered God's Messiah. Let me pray real quick. Father, we thank you for your word and pray that you just guide us in it. Holy Spirit, you have permission to speak to our hearts and minds, and I pray that we would be susceptible and to you, and we would allow you to speak to our hearts. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, what's it say? It says, Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone. Not to tell what to anyone? That he was the Messiah. The Son of Man must suffer many things, he says, and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed on the third day and be raised to life. Now, there could be any number of reasons why Jesus would say, please don't tell anyone, or command them to not tell anyone. And this wouldn't be the first time. Generally speaking, not generally, but many times when he would perform a healing, he would tell or command the person who was healed to not tell anyone what had happened or how it had happened or who did it. And inevitably, they would go and tell. How can you not? I suppose. That being said, some of the reasons that have been postulated as why that might be true is that Jesus then had to begin to work, to perform his ministry in secret, to be able to go in and out of towns and villages and communities clandestinely, that he had to mute his arrival to some degree. Another place where Jesus would command that it not be spoken of who he was when demons would be driven out. And as they're encountering Jesus, they would cry out, Son of David, or Son of God, or whatever nomenclature they would use, do not torture us, or do not cast us away. For instance, the legion that went into the pigs. And Jesus would command them sternly to not speak of him. In that particular case, is that he didn't need the testimony of demons. He didn't need those who knew who he was express to humanity who he was. The third thing that he would do that would be in relation to this was he taught in parables that would be difficult to understand. And in fact, Isaiah prophesies that it was purposely to not allow the understanding. Now, this is an interesting thing too, in that what Jesus is, I think, trying to achieve here is that we cannot intellectually assent to who he is solely, and in so claim or be self-deceived into believing that we believe. One of the things we need to understand about the kingdom of heaven is that it's not as much a mind or thinking or assenting transaction. It is a heart transplant. And so Jesus is looking for the hearts of people. And that happens when the Spirit of God touches the spirit of the person. The heart is then turned toward God, receiving, seeing God for who he is, maybe, well, certainly for the first time, recognizing their sin and asking forgiveness. This is a really important element, because what we see is that what Jesus is trying to say is it is not by your intellect or your IQ or your academia or anything of the sort, your being a philosopher or a theologian that saves you. If that were the case, we'd be in trouble, because very few of us have that kind of a mind or that kind of training or that kind of background or that kind of access. The fact is, the gospel is incredibly simple. Paul calls it foolishness. If you read 1 Corinthians, he says that I didn't come to you with eloquence or fine rhetoric or persuasive arguments or academia or philosophy or profound measures of theology. No, I came with Christ and Christ crucified. That's it. That's it. The Spirit of Christ, then, the Holy Spirit, touches the heart of the one who hears, and it's converted. It's changed. It's transformed. And God goes from being this distant, powerful entity to becoming one's heavenly Father. And God, and all of a sudden, the eyes of the person are seen, are open to see the goodness of God expressed in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit. So Paul goes on in 1 Corinthians 2 to say, I didn't come to you with these eloquent words or persuasive arguments, but in fact, by the power of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? It means that although the words are important, because it speaks to the mind, the transaction occurs at the heart. When one recognizes their sin and their distance from God and their need for forgiveness and the incredible offer of grace that God has bestowed by his mercy and receive it humbly, as to be forgiven and align oneself, devote oneself to God being born again. So when Jesus strictly warned them not to tell anyone in this particular case, that this is because it is because of the Son of Man must suffer. Now, if you go to John 13, this is 3 years into Jesus' ministry with his disciples, they had great difficulty understanding this truth. 3 years in, Jesus had, on a number of occasions, warned them that the Messiah must suffer many things, and they still didn't get it. There was no way the crowds were going to get it. And so one of the things that Jesus is attempting to do is to say, listen, yes, I am the Messiah, but it's not the type of Messiah that these people are expecting. They're expecting a king, a military conqueror, one who's going to reestablish the nation state of Israel to its rightful place, as the Jews understood it, conquer Rome, and rule. They already tried to make him king and would try to make him king again. And that was never the point. And so the Jewish people, Israel, had a mistaken view of who the Messiah would be. And if they found out that, yes, he is the Messiah, there would be this concerted effort again and again and again to make him king and to completely misunderstand the actual reasoning for him coming, the way he came, and what he was offering. That of acceptance into citizenship in the kingdom of heaven by faith. And so what's happening here is Jesus is saying to the disciples, you're beginning to get this thing, but the people won't understand. You're beginning to get this thing, but you are going to struggle watching me suffer. In fact, Peter would pull Jesus to the side at one of his statements to the disciples regarding this and say, far be it from you, Jesus, to die. To which Jesus says, away from me, Satan. Get behind me. Not meaning that Peter himself was Satan, but he was speaking the words of the evil one in an attempt to discourage Jesus, much like the temptations that occurred in Luke 9. This would be Luke 4. This would be an assertion by the enemy that this need not happen their ways. Remember, he said, what the enemy said in Luke 4 was, I have the authority to give to anyone power over the authority over this world. All you need to do is bow to me. This is one more attempt. Jesus, you don't have to die. You're going to be king. They misunderstood. We even see it on Palm Sunday. The entire community misunderstood Jesus coming. And he came on a relatively obvious metaphor. As a king who was conquering a city came in on a white horse, sword in his hand. Not so the Prince of Peace. The one who came in peace came on a foal, a donkey. And that's what Jesus had done. And they missed it again. So it's essential we recognize what Jesus is doing is being strategic here. He's being prudent. And he's saying to his disciples, you don't understand. And the people certainly won't understand. And as much as my ministry can be obstructed to some degree, in a human sense, by people having announced their healing when I've asked them not to, and now provoked this massive overflow of people who would come to see us. What had they just experienced? They had just experienced the 12 going out and doing these mighty works. Herod finding out, the people following them, and 18 to 20,000 people show up to a respite where Jesus is trying to debrief and refresh his disciples. So the disciples have seen evidence of what happens when the crowds hear. Then Jesus said this, verse 23. Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves. And here it is, take up their cross daily. You know, this has become what's the word I'm looking for? A little cliche for us, this side of the cross 2,000 years. We wear crosses as decoration, some of us for declaration. But the fact of the matter is we have no idea what it means to pick up our cross. His disciples know exactly what it meant. It meant their death, and a brutal death, where they would be taken captive. They are no longer their own, bound and tied, and then nailed to a cross and lifted publicly. In disgrace. So when Jesus says, take up your cross and deny yourself, what he's saying is you must die to yourself daily, he says. Listen to what it says. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up the cross daily and follow me. If you don't understand what it is that Jesus is calling you to, it's extremely difficult for you to do what it is that is necessary to be it and to do it. Jesus' whole point here is this. You are my disciples, but you have yet to truly understand what it is to be my disciples. You are following me, and to some degree, you're taking up your cross. But you're going to see me on a cross, and you're going to recognize exactly what I mean when I say to you, pick up your cross. Deny yourself. Deny your ambitions. Deny your preconceived notions. Deny what you believed might be true, but in essence is not really. Deny the things that you're clinging to now to receive the things that I will give you later. Including the power of the Holy Spirit that empowers us to overcome the temptations of our flesh, our biases, our own desires. And then the will of the Father, who will now become your will by that Spirit. As you deny yourself, deny your flesh, deny your way, deny your will, deny your flesh's manner and go about kingdom business in every aspect of your life. Daily, he says, die to yourself daily. Lay yourself down to the king daily. Become a slave to the one to whom you follow and are devoted. Daily, let go. Daily, pray the prayer, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Daily. Are we ready today to pick up our cross? Are we ready at each juncture of the day to recognize his lordship? Are we ready today to see each encounter as being sacred, orchestrated, ordained? Are we ready today to then submit to the Holy Spirit in that moment and either be kind or generous or hospitable or all of that? Be prepared to give a reason for our hope when we're asked, and do so with the Spirit of Jesus, gentleness and respect, are really just to be pleasant and considerate, patient, encouraging. Are we ready to speak a word of truth and love to a brother or sister, or have a hard conversation about areas of our lives that need to be shorn up? Are we ready for his lordship today? That's kind of what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, disciples, you're just learning this thing and you don't even fully understand. The people won't possibly understand. They have a view of the Messiah that is mistaken. And it's ours over the next couple years at this point to show them otherwise. And you will be learning also. There'll be a time when you can tell people I'm the Messiah, but now is not yet. That's true even in some of our own relationships. He said, don't cast your pearls before the swine, lest the pearls be trampled and you turn around and be torn apart, torn to pieces. What's he mean? The person before you is not always ready to hear that Jesus is the Messiah. They need the demonstration of the power first. That was Jesus' point. At least believe the miracles, he says. Let me give you evidence of the kingdom of heaven being among you, and this being a good thing and a wondrous thing and an expression of my Father's heart. And you see it with integrity in regard to my life and my speech and my manner, my way. There are even those among us today who have a mistaken idea of who Jesus is or what Christianity is, who Christians are. And to speak right to the idea that he is the Messiah will have no effect, or could even be counterproductive. May we live in a way to earn the right to be heard. And may we demonstrate Jesus in such a way as to prepare the soil of the heart before us, along with the Holy Spirit, both in us and in them, to hear the message of Jesus, that eventually we might be able to unveil the truth of his being their Savior, the one willing to forgive their sins and receive them and make them a child of the Heavenly Father. This admonition is to us today as much as it was to the disciples then. We must be prudent, careful, discerning, insightful. Our lives should be consistent as much as possible. A trajectory toward Christ-likeness, where generally speaking, people would go, I think they've been with Jesus. And then discern whether it's time yet to declare, to speak of, or to at least to allude to, that Jesus is the Messiah. Because not everyone's ready to hear it yet. But everyone is susceptible to seeing it and experiencing it. Opening the way for the words to hear it. And maybe the heart to receive it. Today, let's walk with Jesus, picking up our cross, denying ourselves. Even when we feel like we're compelled to speak, when the heart before us isn't ready to hear, and live in such a way as to prepare the soil for those seeds.